There were some areas, though, of this particular case that were not so open.
Such as?
Well, such as a couple of us were staring at a map.
Is this what you mean by more to the story?
Well, there's actually even more to the potential of we have to still pay attention to this object.
Okay, all right, let's get back to this. So this is not...
Some of us were staring at a map around Christmas time of not only the fact that this thing is, you know, potentially going to hit us,
but where?
Some of us were staring at maps of where it would hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without naming individual countries, some of us were looking at our European and Middle East sort of colleagues and thinking, you know, there are places there where
let me ask you, can you accurately, if this thing were going to hit
us, at that time we didn't know yet where along a particular track it was going to hit, but we did know the track.
Okay,
and that part was fairly well known. In fact, for this particular object, the uncertainty width of that potential track across the surface of the Earth where the object could hit, the width of that track was narrower than the actual damage zone that would have been caused by the impact. Okay?
Yeah, I'm with
you. So, you know, some of us were staring at this and wondering, you know, how much longer do we continue on this, you know, had the new observations not come along and resolved the issue of, you know, we're still staring at 1 in 37 odds of this thing impacting in 2029. There was a potential that we could have been staring at those odds for months, if not a couple years to come, before subsequent observations would have been able to show. Now, we dumb lucked out, found an old observation that all of a sudden shrunk down this error ellipse, moved it off of the surface of the Earth, and gave us the all clear. But had, by dumb luck, that observation not been there, we would have been continuing, still to this day, right now, been sitting here with probably about 1 in 20 odds that this thing was going to impact across this particular track across the Earth.
Okay.
At what point in that process, and this is a legitimate question, I'm not telling you the answer, I'm legitimately asking the question, at what point in that process should our community have become, you know, started to put that kind of detail out there? We in this community are constantly on the boundaries between, you know, being Chicken Little, saying the sky is falling, being, you know, crying wolf, and secrecy. You know?
We've got too much secrecy already, Dan.
Where in this process should we err? I'll tell you where I fall. I tend to fall on the full disclosure. Let's treat it the same way we treat other disasters, other risks that we commonly deal with, hurricanes and geological risks and things like that, which are, you know, look at hurricane forecasts, right? I mean, you get a tropical depression that forms off the coast of Africa, and the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Center, is already not only tracking it, but daily, hourly, automatically updating the observations of that tropical depression on websites that are freely available to everybody.
Well, and now they're beginning to tell people so they can evacuate.
Exactly. And that but my point is that the process starts very early on. We don't wait to start telling people, hey, there's something to pay attention to when it's already in the Bahamas. We automatically, so everyone can make their own decisions as to whether or not it's interesting, the information is posted. Now, to be fair, we are very nearly at that point in the process with these asteroid impacts. There are web pages that are publicly available from NASA at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the Near Earth Objects Program Office. You can go there and look daily, updated automatically, the objects that are of concern. But there's information in there that you can take the information available there and go further. And the question is, should that further information, should we as scientists be communicating it in a more clear way, or should we just post the raw stuff and rely on other people's ability to maybe try to decipher it?
No,
where do we
I think you have to decipher it for us, quite
I'm sorry,
frankly. I think you guys have to do that.
Well, that's kind of where my thoughts are, that's part of our jobs as scientists, is to clearly communicate what we do to people who aren't scientists and who aren't able to decipher that information. That's our job. That's what we do. I mean, it wouldn't be our job if we were paid by some private foundation or some wealthy benefactor. We're paid by public tax dollars. That's our job. is to make it clear and give back to our society that pays us what we're doing. I weigh on full disclosure. Let's put everything out there on the table. Let everyone on their own decide whether it merits attention or not.
Now, you were talking about then the rest of the story.
The rest of the story. Not to play Chicken Little, but it's not quite true that we're completely out of the woods here. There's an interesting quirk to
a little
twist
to this
pass in 2029.
What is it?
Well, anytime you have an object like this passing that near to the Earth, and actually there's two twists here, anytime you have something of that size passing near to the Earth, Earth's gravity now starts to significantly affect its future path in the solar system, right?
Right, no doubt about that.
And
Time around, maybe.
There are little, what we call keyholes in space. You know, if you pass near the Earth, you know, over here, you get twisted into an orbit that sends you into the future on one particular path that is of no consequence in the
mm-hmm.
future. You know,
mm-hmm.
it goes about its business. But if you were to happen to pass in just the right place past the Earth, through a little keyhole, quote-unquote, in space, the specific circumstances of that one particular pass might allow you to return to the Earth for a future impact sometime down the line. And that is indeed the case with almost any of these close patches. But with this one in particular, we now know pretty specifically that there's a keyhole that allows this object to enter a resonance with the orbit of the Earth, a 7-6 resonance. So for every 7 times that the Earth goes around the Sun, this object goes around the Sun 6 times. In fact, there's a little keyhole in space during that 2029 passage that would allow this object to come back and have a small chance of impacting the Earth in 2036, only 7 years later.
All right, so you believe at least 2029, we're out of the woods there.
We are out of the woods for 2029, and we're, you know, again, very likely that we're out of the woods in 2036, but...
You're not sure yet.
But we don't know. We probably won't know until, you know, there's still this residual uncertainty in where this object is going to be in 2029, and we're not going to know that residual uncertainty any better by even into, you know, 2010, 2015. You know, I would like to know, even before that pass in 2029, I want to make sure that we don't have this object entering that particular little keyhole, small as those possibilities are. I want to know precisely where this thing's going to go. Our observations from the surface of the Earth itself are not good enough, I think, to give us enough forewarning before 2029 to do something about this object should it enter that particular narrow little keyhole.